Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning, good morning. So glad you guys are here. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you. Kicking off a brand new series today called Road Trip. And so how many of you love road trips? How many of you dig road trips? All right, yes. Yes, I love road trips. I have been going on road trips literally my entire life. I was born and raised for the first 10 years of my life in a really small town right outside of Augusta, Georgia. It was just across the line. It was called Clearwater, South Carolina. My entire family lived there. Immediate family, my parents, both sets of grandparents. And when I was really, actually before I was born, my dad convinced my grandfather for them to go in together and to buy one of those conversion vans. Remember those things? This thing was like sweet. It was yellow and brown. And I think my dad used it to do carpool for a while, but when I was growing up, it's what we used to take on road trips. And as a little kid, man, like a conversion van, it is the height of luxury. Because for a little kid, you can do whatever you want in the back, as long as you aren't loud. You can do whatever you want in the back of the van. And I could just remember, we could lay down back there. I mean, there wasn't a seatbelt to be found. But we took this van on a ton of trips. I remember we took it to Disney World. I remember taking it to Nashville. We would take it to the mountains. We would usually go to Beach Mountain in Boone. We'd go skiing there. And when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I'll never forget this. We were on a trip, and I believe we were headed to Nashville. And I was in the back, which is where I was supposed to be, and I noticed this weird smell. Not that smell. That wouldn't have been weird. I noticed this weird smell. It smelled like something was burning. And, you know, I kind of told, hey, smells like something's burning back here. And I was 6 or 7, so they just ignored me. They didn't care. And so they just kept going. About 10 minutes later, my grandmother, who was on the trip, she also noticed the smell. They took her much more seriously than they took me. And so we investigated, and it turns out that one of the cup holders, either the light, I can't remember if the light had, like, was touching the plastic or if it was a wire underneath. But anyway, it was starting to melt the plastic. And when everyone else found out what that was, everyone else just kind of moved on about their life. But I was terrified because I thought we had a fire in our van. And as a 6 or 7 year old, you know, my only real thoughts about vans was what I knew from the A-team. And if there's a fire in a van on the A-team, it blows up. And so I'm like, why is no one? We're going to blow up. And we didn't. And about 30 minutes later, we didn't blow up. And so I realized, like, I guess I'm wrong. And so we didn't blow up. But I tell you that story because it is the first time I remember. And again, we have been going lots of places. It's the first time I ever remember being concerned on a road trip. It's the first time I remember having to be like, wait, who's in charge here? Why is no one concerned that the van is on fire? Up to that point, it was just completely free. Do whatever you want. I had one job on road trips, and it was to not ask, are we there yet? Like, that was the one job. That's all I had to do. But I remember that moment of being concerned. Because as you get older and you go on road trips, that begins to happen. I could still remember when I was in high school, we were on a family road trip, just the four of us, me and my parents and my sister. And I can remember the first time my dad asked me to drive on a road trip. And we both regretted that decision tremendously about 5 minutes after we made the switch. So there was a lot of yelling that went on the interstate. But, you know, so I started to be involved in the road trips. Then when I was in college, me and some buddies decided that we went to the University of South Carolina, so we wanted to go see the Gamecocks play an away game. And so, you know, we went, and we got a hotel room, and we had to use a map because phones were just for phone calls then. And so we had to figure out how to get there. And I'll never forget sitting in that hotel room, and just we're all having a good time, and it just kind of dawns on me. I was like, wait a minute. Who's in charge of this? And the horrifying answer was me. I was in charge. Most of us have gone through that transition. You know, when you're on a road trip, it's great. It's fun. There's no rules. You can basically read a book. You can take a nap. when you're in charge of a road trip, things are completely different. You are accountable to some people. You have to make some decisions. And basically, there are three main decisions any person in charge of a road trip has to nail. You have to get these right for the road trip to be a success. Number one, you got to answer the question, where are we going? Well, this is easy. If you don't have a great destination, people aren't going to go with you on the road trip. They aren't going to be excited about it. So you got to have a great destination. But almost as important as where we're going, how do we get there? What path are we going to take? How many times are we going to stop? Are we going to take the fast route? Are we going to take the scenic route? Are we going to take highways? Are we going to take back roads? Are we going to be the kind of people that are kind and stop when other people need to go to the bathroom? Or are we going to be people who think they're racing an imaginary person and they have to break the land speed record and make everyone miserable in the process? You know, we have to make those decisions. Where are we going and how do we get there? And if you've been on a road trip, you kind of think that's it, right? But there's one more question. There's one more question. If it's going to be a great road trip, you got to nail. Not just where you're going, not just how do you get there, you also got to nail, will we still like each other once we arrive? Like, is this trip been planned in such a way where we're actually going to have a good time in the process and we're still going to be friends, we're still going to be family, we're still going to be happy to be around each other when we get to the destination? Now, some of you are wondering, okay, why are we talking about road trips? Why are we talking about a planned road trips? Why are we talking about that in church? It's supposed to be about Jesus. Why are we talking about road trip? Great question. Here's the answer. I think a road trip is a phenomenal picture of life. We are basically on one long, winding road trip. And if you were lucky, when you were young, you had a pretty carefree experience on the road trip. I hope you had family or friends or someone who kind of cared for you along the way. They took care of everything. They made every decision. And you just got to be along for the ride. You just traveled along on the journey. And then as you got a little older, hopefully you had someone that began to let you kind of make some decisions on the road trip. Maybe you drove a little bit. Maybe you got to have a little freedom, all with the protection of still having someone else there who was ultimately in charge, helping guide and help make decisions. But most of us, almost every single person in this room at this point, has probably hit the point in your life where you realize, uh-oh, I'm in charge of the trip. And by the time we recognize that, we usually look around and discover we're not on the trip alone. We're on the trip with friends. We're on the trip with coworkers. We're on the trip with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. We're on the trip with a spouse. We're on the trip with a spouse plus kids. And in every single one of our lives, we are still asking these questions. We're still saying, okay, where are we going? Where's this relationship going? Where's this marriage going? Where's this family going? At work, where are we going as an organization? These are the questions we all ask. Man, what is the final destination? What's the goal? What are we trying to reach? What are we trying to achieve? And once we answer that question, we want to know, okay, how do we get there? How do we make the right choices? How do we date the right way? How do we marry the right person? How do we raise our kids right? How do we point them in the right direction? How do we lead our organization in such a way? How do we actually, day by day, make the choices, make the decisions, make the steps to get us where we want to go? And how do we make sure we still like each other on the other side? How do we ensure this family thrives on this journey? How do we ensure this relationship thrives on this journey? How do we ensure our organization thrives on this journey? These are universal questions for any person in any arena where you find yourself having to make decisions about the direction of your life. And here's the cool thing. The God of the universe, he has answers for all these questions. And they're not even complicated questions. They're very clear. They're very simple. And so what we're going to do as a church for the next few weeks is we are going to turn to God and we are going to invite him to help us answer these questions in our lives. Which means if you are in charge of a family, this series is for you. And this series is going to help your family answer the questions. Hey, where are we going? And hey, how do we get there? And hey, how do we make sure we like each other once we arrive? If you're in a dating relationship, where are we going? How do we get there? Well, we like each other once we arrive. If you have been privileged enough to have some authority at work and you lead a group of coworkers, or maybe you lead the whole organization, this is going to apply to you as well. Where are we going as an organization? Where are we going? Now, how do we get there? And how do we make sure we still like each other along the way? Yes, this series is going to primarily be about personal relationships, family, dating. But again, the principles are completely universal. Because here's what I know. And here's what you will admit, maybe not publicly, but to yourselves at least. If you do find yourself in charge of anyone's destination, because you're a parent, because you're leading in your relationship, because you're friends, because you lead at work, you think about these questions. And not only do you think about these questions, you worry about these questions. Sometimes you're confident about the answers, and then something doesn't work, and you're not as confident. And you go, oh, man, do I know where we're going? Do I really know how to get there? Do I really know how to navigate my child making these decisions about they're leaving middle school, and they're about to go to high school in Myrtle Beach? You can go to like 8 high schools. And I don't know which high school to go to because they make it sound like whatever I choose today is going to determine the future for the next 20 years of my life. And I'm not ready to make that decision yet. See, there's decisions like that we have to make over and over and over and over again in our lives on this journey, on this road trip of life. And we can begin to believe that every single decision is life or death. Because the stakes feel so high when you're making decisions, not just for yourself, but for other people as well. So if you've ever felt that way, if you do feel that way, the God of the universe has an answer for you. And as I said before, it's not that complicated. In fact, today, I'm going to give you the answer to the first two questions. Then we're going to spend the next few weeks discovering how to put that into practice in our lives. I'll go ahead and tell you, if you're new to our church, our series, they always build on each other. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this topic. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a good chance when we're done today, you might have more questions than answers. And that's okay. That's on purpose. That's how it's designed. It's designed that over the next month, as we talk a little and think a little and talk a little and pray a little and talk a little and think a little, that as we go through this for a month, by the end of it, we'll all say, okay, there's the complete picture. This is how God wants us to move forward in this area of our lives. Because, as I said, the answer to the first two questions is not even a destination. And the answer to the first two questions is not even a path. The answer to the first two questions, for any of us who want to claim to be Christians, for anyone who want to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus with my life, is one person. And his name is Jesus. Where are we going? Jesus. How do we get there? Jesus. Now, I know you don't understand that yet, so we're just getting started. And I know for some of you, you're new to faith. Maybe you're new to our church. Maybe you don't even consider yourself a Christian. And so, of course, Jesus being the answer doesn't make sense to you yet. I say yet because, man, we're thrilled you're here. And so we've designed our church for you, and we hope that as you feel safe here to ask your questions about faith, you will discover Jesus really is as good as we promise. And he can change your life just like he's changed so many of the lives in this room. So let me explain why I say that Jesus is the answer to both where we're going and how we get there. To do that, I want to take you to a night in Jesus' life that is very heavily documented. We talk about it a lot as a church because it is the last night he spends on earth with his disciples. It was a Thursday evening. We call this night the Last Supper. He has dinner with his 12 disciples. After this dinner, he heads to a garden where he is arrested, where he is handed over to the Roman government. Friday morning, he is sentenced to death. Friday afternoon, he is executed. He's buried in a borrowed tomb. On Saturday, he stays dead because that's what dead people do. On Sunday, he comes back to life because that's what God does. And everything changed at that moment. And so this Thursday evening, this meal he spends with his disciples is recorded for us in all the accounts of Jesus' life. John, who is his best friend on earth, he gives us the most detailed account. And so Jesus has dinner with his disciples. And the reason I think it's so perfect for all of us today who have questions about the future, about leading things, about moving forward, is because on this night, at this dinner, Jesus dropped a bomb on his disciples. He says, I'm leaving. He says, I'm going away. And you guys have to figure this out now. Oh, and by the way, he also says, one of you is a liar and is going to betray all of you. He didn't tell him which one. And he also says, your leader, Peter, is going to be so scared tonight, he's going to deny knowing me three times. Let's eat. And the disciples could not handle what they'd heard. They were overwhelmed by it. They were terrified because they didn't feel equipped. They didn't feel prepared. They didn't feel like they knew how to move forward without Jesus being in their lives. He had been with them for 3 years. He had directed every decision they had made, and now he's leaving, and they were panicked. I go to this point because I think many of us have felt or feel the same way. It's the panic of not knowing what job to take. It's the panic of not knowing the proper decision for in parenting in that moment. It's the panic of knowing, do I marry her or do I not marry her? It's the panic of knowing, do I go to this school or do I go to this school? It's that there's a step, I'm supposed to take it, and I don't know what to do. That's exactly how the disciples felt in that moment. Because Jesus is like, I'm leaving, you got this. And so they're panicked. And in John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus realizes they're panicked, and he responds this way. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He's like, whoa, calm down, guys. Calm down. That's what he would say to us today when we get overwhelmed by parenting decisions. And when we get overwhelmed by career decisions, and when we get overwhelmed by dating decisions, and we get overwhelmed because we aren't quite sure the right thing to do, Jesus would say, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. Calm down. And here's what we should do instead. Trust in God and trust also in me. He's saying, guys, to his disciples, guys, calm down. Calm down. Trust me. Now, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, calm down because you're good enough. He didn't say, calm down because you're equipped. He didn't say, calm down because you're ready. He didn't say, calm down because of anything they possessed or could do. He said, calm down because of who he was. That's what he would say to us. He would never say, calm down, this isn't a big decision. He would never say, calm down, you have everything you need. He'd say, calm down because I'm here. Calm down because I'm in your life and you can trust me. You can trust my Father. Here's why. He says, there's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, what I've told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. See, he had said that earlier. He said, I've got to go prepare a place for you. And that's what started the whole cycle of wait, what? And what he's saying is, he's saying, guys, no, you don't get it. This has been part of the plan the whole time. When my dad sent me, the plan was always for me to leave. It was to get things started here, and then I've got to go because I've got more work to do. I've got to go prepare your eternal home. I've got to go prepare that. I've got to go do work there. But don't worry, there's plenty of room. In other words, I'm not going to leave you behind. I'm not going to leave you out. That's not who I am. In fact, Jesus keeps going, and he says, when everything's ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. He's saying, no. See, you think I'm leaving you. I'm not. I'm going ahead of you. I'm just walking further. I'm going to prepare something, but I'm always going to keep my eye on you. I'm always going to be checking on you. And when you are ready, I'm going to come back and get you so you can spend time with me. Here's what he's saying to us. Those of us that call ourselves Christians and who follow him, he's saying, when you come up against those decisions, when you come up against those choices, when you come against those things and you don't know what to do, take a breath and trust in your God who is going ahead of you, who is always ahead of you, who is always preparing things for you, who is always at work for you, who is always checking on you, who is always looking at you, who is always seeking to guide you. Just because you can't see him in that moment doesn't mean he's not ahead of you preparing. That's what Jesus is saying. He's like, guys, I'm not leaving you. I'm just continuing to lead you, and to lead you now, I've got to go a little further. And then Jesus says something that obviously he said it, and he's God, and so he's perfect. But boy, this did not land well with the disciples. Because here's what he says. He says, and anyway, guys, you know the way to where I'm going. In other words, I don't really get this. You already know where I'm going. And at that point, I think the disciples' fear turned to panic. And one of them, a man named Thomas, was bold enough to speak up. And he responds this way. He says, No, we don't know, Lord. In fact, he keeps going. He says, we have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And in my brain at that point, Thomas is about to have a panic attack. Thomas kind of starts breaking down because Thomas is like, okay, this is enough, Jesus. This is enough. You're leaving. One of us is going to betray us. Peter's going to deny you. And now you're saying we know where you're going. We don't know anything. And they start to panic. And I pick this passage for this moment. These men have been walking with Jesus for 3 years. And at this crucial moment, they look at him and they say, we have no idea what to do. Is there a parent in the room who can't relate to that moment? We know what to do. We have, you know, when it's the first one and you've been in the hospital for like not long enough. And they say, okay, here's a baby, leave. And I'm like, me? Who's coming with? No one. What? You know, the first time your kid starts liking somebody else, I'm not ready for this. I don't know what to do. The boss offers you a promotion, but it's going to require you to move halfway across the country. I don't know what to do. I'm not ready for this. I don't know the way. I have no idea what to do. And deep down, even if we would admit it, all we really want is for somebody smarter than us, somebody ahead of us, to just tell us what to do. We never admit it because we want freedom. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do until we get to the point where we don't know the way. We don't know the way. Somebody just tell us what to do. That's what Thomas is saying. Jesus, just tell us what to do. No, we don't. You're giving too much. We have no idea what you're doing. What are you talking about? We don't know the way. And Jesus gives one of the kindest, most loving, clarifying responses in all of his recorded words. Because, see, Thomas is looking for a path. Thomas is looking for a destination. We don't know the way. What's Jesus' response? Jesus told him, I am the way. Thomas, buddy, you're looking for a path. You're looking for a destination. No. What I give you is so much better than that. Thomas, you have a person. You have a personal relationship, Thomas, with the God of the universe. That's enough. That's all you need. Jesus says, because I am the way. You have spent 3 years with me. You know me. And to know me is to know all you need to know. That's what he said to me. That's what he said to you. That's what he said to us. To know Jesus, to have Jesus in our life, is to know the answer. So where are we going? And how do we get there? Why? Because he's not only the way. He's the truth, and the life. He is the truth about God. He is the source of life from God. And no one can come to the Father except through him. No one can reach the destination he has planned except him. So let me explain what this means. Two questions. Where are we going? How do we get there? Jesus. What does that look like? Pretty simple. Let me show you. Jesus is the direction and the destination. In life, we move towards Jesus, and we want to spend time with Jesus. Check this out. It means a step towards Jesus is always a step in the right direction. That's clarifying truth number one. Any time in your life, any decision, personal, relational, at work, a step towards Jesus is always a step in the right direction. Why? Because he is the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. Which means at all times, in all situations, when there is a choice between obeying and sinning, a moral choice between right and wrong, we pick right. We pick Jesus. And we confidently know we are stepping towards him. So that is a step in the right direction 100% of the time. That is how we get to where we want to go. A step towards Jesus. Now just pause. I'm not saying you have to do this. I think you should. But before you think about whether or not you can practically do it, think about the freedom that you would find in your life if you made that choice. Just think about how clarifying your decisions would be, how clarifying your leadership would be, how clarifying your choices would become if you just simply decide when there's a moral right and there's a moral wrong, when there's a difference between obeying and sinning, I'm going to obey every time. And not just me. In every area where I have influence, my organization, we're going to obey every time. My family, we're going to obey every time. This relationship, we're going to obey every time. We're just going to obey, 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 obey. Why? Well, because the step towards Jesus is the step in the right direction. And hey, man, I want to get to the destination, and I want to get there the best way possible. And he's the way. So, I'm going to choose to believe in my life, and I'm going to choose to build relationships in my life around the idea. A step towards Jesus, step in the right direction. Just think about it. Think about how clarifying that would be in your life and all of the moral choices you make. I keep saying moral choices because not every choice we make has a right and a wrong. You know this, right? Not every choice we make is the difference between obeying and sinning. Not every choice we make do we have clarity from God in his word or clarity from his Holy Spirit. I've read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. Nowhere in there does it tell me where to have lunch tomorrow. And outside of some pretty basic parameters, it doesn't tell me who to date. It doesn't tell us who to marry. It doesn't tell us what career to pursue. It doesn't tell us where to live. It doesn't tell us whether we should start a new business. It doesn't tell us if we should have kids. It doesn't tell us specifically how to even raise kids. Again, some pretty basic parameters. It doesn't tell us how old our kids should be before they start dating. It doesn't tell us what college our kids should go to. It doesn't tell us what high school they should go to. It doesn't tell us what sport they should play. It doesn't tell us how many sports they should play. It tells us none of those things. And let's be honest, those are the things we worry about, right? Those are the things that weigh us down. Those are the choices. Am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? Should she date that person? Should he date her? Should they get married? I don't know, but I don't know. Am I supposed to talk about that? Am I not supposed to talk about that? I'm so confused. Do I take this job? Do I take this job? This is where we get the panic. Especially if we're the ones in charge. Especially if we're the ones making the calls. So we go to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do? We don't know the way. And all these decisions that there's no clear, definitive right or wrong. What do? You know what he would say? He'd say, come here. He'd put his arm around you and say, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, trust in God and trust also in me. Because, see, I've gone ahead of you. And I'm working. And I'm preparing ahead of you. You don't know what's happening. I do. I'm preparing ahead of you. And when I need you, I'll come get you and I'll direct you and I'll guide you. And And I'll speak clarifying words at times, and sometimes I won't. And if I'm not speaking, you can be confident. You know why? Because I'm the way. See, whenever there's a clear step towards Jesus, we take it. And we can know it's the right direction. But in these choices where there are no moral right and moral wrong, our Heavenly Father gives us freedom. And all he asks is that we bring him with us. He says, send your kid to that school or send your kid to that school. Just take me with you. Just walk with me. Just listen to me. Date that person or date that person. Just walk with me. See, it's not just a step towards Jesus. It's also a step with Jesus. A step with Jesus is also the step in the right direction. Why? Because he is the direction and the destination. Which means if you are with Jesus and you are listening to Jesus, you have freedom to try that career or that career. You have freedom to parent how you see fit in line with what he said. Let me be real clear. This is not an excuse to do what you want. There are plenty of things where God is 100% clear. Do this, don't do this. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, tell the truth. But again, there's all these other areas of life where we have to make critical decisions. And we feel like they're life or death. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, if there's a step to take towards me, take it. And again, sometimes God will speak in that way. There are times into these decisions the Holy Spirit will speak. One of the biggest blessings in my life is pretty early when Danielle and I started dating, God's Holy Spirit kind of confirmed in her heart that we were supposed to get married. Thank you, Jesus. Because some of you have heard the stories. I was pretty dumb when we started dating, and I'm glad that she had that command from God that she had to marry me. Sorry about that. April 15, 2008. God clearly directed Danielle and I to leave Fort Worth, Texas, move here and start Wellspring Church, and we did. So as you pray about these decisions, sometimes God is going to speak. Sometimes he's going to very clearly say, hey, you should let her join the school. You should send her here. But most of the time, he's going to say, well, what do you want to do? Well, Jesus, I don't know. And he's like, well, you're with me, and I'm the way. I'm the destination, so you're good. Just take a step. Just try that. If it doesn't work out, I got your back. And I know if you're new to faith, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when you've been a Christian as long as I have, you know what that feels like. That when God's not speaking clearly, you just have the confidence of, okay, I don't know, but I kind of want to do this. So God, we're going to try this. And God's like, okay. And then as you get closer, God, I still want to do this. Is this cool? Yeah, it's okay. God, I still want to do this. Is this cool? Yeah, it's okay. And then sometimes it works. And sometimes you get through, you're like, that didn't work. And God's like, yeah, see, I was teaching you something because I'm ahead of you and I'm preparing you. And it was okay for you to do that because I needed to teach you something because it's going to set you up for this down the road. But if Jesus is just a direction, if he's just the direction, you'll live frustrated. But when you realize he's not only the direction, he's also the destination. And that whatever step you take, wherever you end up, if he's with you, if he's been invited on the journey, if you're listening and letting him speak to you, you can have confidence because he is the way. Now, as I said, simple answer, take a lifetime to master. So what we're going to do for the next few weeks is we're going to spend some time talking about, okay, how do we put this into practice? How do we take some practical steps to reorient our lives around this idea that Jesus is the direction and the destination? And so, my challenge to you this week, before we pick that up, is to spend some time thinking about the questions that we opened with. I want you to think about this question. Where are we going? We meaning wherever you have influence. We meaning your dating relationship. We meaning your friendships. We meaning your marriage. We meaning your career. Where are we going? Where are we headed? And then I want you to imagine the value in spending the next few weeks shoring up the answer to that question. How much better would your life be if you were confident in where you were headed in every area of your life? Not only that, imagine knowing, how do we get there? Imagine having some handles. Imagine having some guardrails. Imagine having some steps to know, hey, okay, not only where are we going, I know how to get there. Because the cool thing that happens is when you let Jesus guide where you're going and you let Jesus guide how you get there, this third question, will we still like each other once we arrive? It sort of takes care of itself. Because relationships centered on Jesus, relationships anchored in Jesus, relationships that move towards Jesus and move with Jesus, you know what? They stay solid. They thrive in that moment. So that's where we're going to pick up next week. Your homework this week is very simple. Spend some time by yourself, with your boyfriend or girlfriend, with your spouse, with your employees, with your friends, whoever it is on that journey that you're interested in staying together with. And ask these questions. Honestly, ask your questions. Evaluate your current trip. Evaluate it. Where are we going? How do we get there? Do we know the path? And are we confident we're going to still like each other once we arrive? And here's what I'll tell you. If you ask all three of those questions and you're thrilled with the answers, you say, yes, I got this covered, amen. Come back for the next few weeks and pray for the rest of us. Okay? I'll put you up in the blue room. You can give us some counseling sessions. You should probably teach the rest of the series, by the way. But if you can admit, you know, I could shore that up. I could be a little more confident in where we're going. I could definitely be more confident in how we get there. And whew, man, I would love to take steps to ensure that we thrive and still like each other along the way. If that sounds appealing, it's exactly what God offers. And so I hope you'll come back as we spend the next few weeks learning how to actually put into practice this truth that Jesus is the way, that he is both the direction and the destination. And we can find freedom when we step towards him and with him in every area of our lives. It's better. He promises. And the only way to discover it for yourself is to try it. So I hope you will. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so thankful for your son. We are so thankful he's the way and he's the truth and he's the life. Lord, I pray as we all contemplate this journey of putting you at the forefront of our lives and discovering the freedom that comes from knowing we can step towards you and with you in all situations, and the freedom of knowing that means you're at work and not us. God, I pray that for us. I pray for that peace, that rest that comes from following you. Lord, I pray for every relationship in this building, every person watching, every organization, every family, every marriage, every single relationship, Father. All the journeys we're on, all the journeys that would be made better, more secure, more solid if you were in charge. God, I pray this week you'll open our eyes to the shortcomings and ramifications of trying this on our own strength. And I pray you'll bring us back next week to take steps to live out the truth that you really are both the direction and the destination. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray.